Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The first part of the three-part Zondo Commission of Inquiry report was published yesterday when it was presented to President Ramaphosa. It points to systemic corruption during Jacob Zuma's presidency in South Africa. It's a really interesting report. You need to get into it, and the recommendations are really fascinating. But to help us understand a little bit more about the opposition's reaction to this, that being the DA, we joined on the air by John Steenhuisen, leader of the Democratic Alliance. John, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Chad. Good morning to the listeners. Great to be with you today.
So, first and foremost, what is your reaction to what you've read so far in this report that's been published?
Well, I don't think there's anything relatively new that's come out of it. We were there when the testimony was given. But I'm very glad that the report is finally out, because now we can start the process of the real work, which is holding people accountable for their role in state capture. And I think that's going to be the litmus test, actually, of how effective this report is in dealing with state capture. And that's what the president and the cabinet decide to do, as well as the NPA start to do, around those people implicated with wrongdoing in this particular report. So I think it's absolutely essential that we start now get to the real work of consequences for those responsible for what has happened.
So you've raised a very interesting point, because we're now hearing talk that people like Brian Molefe should be prosecuted for his role. And that's what the investigating directorate was established. It was established as a result of the need to have a specialized unit within the NPA that could investigate and prosecute based on the findings of the state capture report. What we're now finding is that unit was incapacitated. It doesn't have the necessary resources. Are we going to see these prosecutions taking place?
Well, I think that's going to be the big thing. I mean, do we have the capacity in the NPA to lead these prosecutions? Since the dismantling of the Scorpions, where we saw they had a overwhelming prosecuting record, I think somewhere upwards of a 90-odd% conviction rate, we've not had the same effectiveness from the Hawks and from the NPA to date. And so I think it's going to be absolutely essential that if they do not have that in-house capacity, that they look at acquiring it in the medium term to be able to ensure that they can manage those prosecutions going forward. The last thing you want is the situation to occur like we saw with the Sarichi Commission of Inquiry into the arms deal, and even the Fallon Commission of Inquiry into the Marikana massacre, that what happens is that by the time you get round to prosecutions, the main protagonists are either dead, have emigrated, or are no longer in their positions, or you cannot hold them accountable anymore. So I think the sooner they start to act, the better it's going to be. But there's also another big litmus test on the horizon, and that's the litmus test for the president. This is a tough year for him going into the National General Council meeting of the ANC, potential elective conference, on the back of a very poor election result for the ANC, on the back of the RET faction's resurgence within the ANC as an organization. And is the president going to have the mettle to move against some of the senior ANC people who will no doubt be implicated in this particular report? And is he going to be able to move against in an effective way that sends a message that corruption won't be tolerated? Or are we going to see fudging being done to massage the party's interests rather than the country's interests?
I'm a little bit disappointed by some of the recommendations from the inquiry. It states that government should publish a national charter against corruption in public procurement. This is something that's covered in legislation. We have, of course, PRECA, the Prevention and Combat of Corrupt Activities Act. We have the Public Finance Management Act. We have the Municipal Finance Management Act. We have guidelines from National Treasury. And there shouldn't be a national charter. Surely we should know, if you're appointed in a specific position, that corruption is, of course, a no-no.
Absolutely, Chad. You're 100% correct. And we've had these charters before, and we've had this Batopele, and we've had the whistleblowing against corruption. The bottom line is that the only way you're going to root out corruption, and this was certainly shown by international best practice in places like South Korea, in places around the world, that it's when you have a consequence framework for wrongdoing. So, for instance, we look at the Municipal Finance Management Act. There are very stringent consequences in that act for wrongdoing by municipal officials, by city managers, by politicians. Yet that legislation is not used, and you can count probably on one hand the number of municipal managers or politicians who've been charged in terms of that. So the problem is not a framework problem. The problem is a consequence problem, that there are no consequences for wrongdoing. And that's why it is absolutely critical now that the president and others, if they want to set a message against corruption, start to show that there are consequences, and that it doesn't matter whether you are a former minister, a current minister, a head of an SOE, or however powerful you are in the ANC as an organization, that you will be held accountable. Because what that message will do is infiltrate right down to the bottom, when people see the big guys being held accountable. Far too often, and we saw it with the Nkandla matter and with the Waterkloof Landing matter, it's the small fish that end up taking the hit, and the big fish swim away. And that cannot be allowed to happen, because that's what entrenches this culture of impunity.
John, what you said about consequences is very true. We have the most forward-thinking legislation in the world when it comes to fighting fraud, corruption, money laundering, proceeds of crime. You just have to look at the Prevention of Organized Crime Act, which was introduced based on the American RICO Act. It works. But one of the things that's being called for is the establishment of yet another body. The Commission of Inquiry says they should establish an independent anti-corruption agency. And this concerns me. We had the anti-corruption task team, which was made up of all the role players. The SIU was part of it. The Hawks were part of it. Home Affairs, SARS, you name it, they were a part of it. Shouldn't we rather be looking at capacitating existing organs of state or existing units, such as the investigating directorate, such as the SIU, rather than spending money on another agency?
Well, I think that the problem is that so many of those agencies are so fundamentally broken that probably what the Zondo Commission has done is almost said we've got to build from the bottom up. Here's the thing. Let's go back to the Scorpions. It was probably the most effective crime-fighting, corruption-busting unit in the history of the country. Really effective. What was their formula? A multidisciplinary approach to combating crime and corruption and the prosecution. So right from the beginning, you had police working with forensic accountants, working with attorneys, working with prosecutors, building the case from the ground up. And so that when those cases eventually went to trial, there was a massive conviction rate. I think what we should be doing is looking at perhaps reinventing the Hawks, perhaps taking them and bashing it down and rebuilding the Scorpions with that multidisciplinary approach. Because you really need that ability. Far too many of the convictions or the dockets that go to court are so fundamentally let down by poor policing methods, stakes that have been made, and you end up with the corrupts and crooks being let off and getting out on technicalities. And that's why we have such a very low conviction rate in South Africa for serious crime. It's around about, I think, 15% I think is the top end of convictions for serious crime in South Africa, of the cases that go to court and actually result in a successful prosecution. So I think what we've got to do is have that capacity again, to have that multidisciplinary approach where you're bringing all those competencies together in a single agency that can focus like a laser beam on building a strong case, securing a conviction, and sending out that strong message.
Two of the other recommendations, one of which is not in dispute, was that they need to ensure protection for whistleblowers. We've seen what's happened with whistleblowers in South Africa, and I'm sure you'll agree with me that we do need to institute some measure of protection, and we need to have a specific protocol in place when whistleblowers come forward. But the one recommendation I think that goes across the board and impacts all political parties was a recommendation that the legislation on political party funding be amended. Now, that's an act that was only recently promulgated and signed into effect. What is your take on this, being the leader of a political party, in respect of transparency of party funding?
Well, look, I think there's a balance that has to be struck. And I think what you don't want to do is debilitate the ability of political parties to be able to function. Political parties require public donations to be able to survive and do their work. A large part of the litigation that we've instituted against corrupt individuals like Shlaudi Motsoeneng, Menzi Simelane, and many, many others is funded by public money. And if that public money were to dry up, our effectiveness as an opposition party would be decimated. And we would not be able to be as robust as we have been on things like the spy tapes, things like the constitutional amendments, etc. We need that capacity. We don't get a huge amount of money from the state. We don't have access to government contracts. So what you could end up doing, in effect, if you don't balance the thing properly, is end up favoring the party that is in power in government, because nobody is doing business with government as a worry about giving money to a political party that's in government. If they're giving money to political parties not in government and they're reliant on state contracts, well, they would probably think twice about giving money to an opposition party because it may jeopardize their business. And so I think that we need to have a look at the Act again and look at how we balance transparency, which absolutely has to be there, versus a long-term democratic health of the country going forward. I can tell you, it's no secret that the Act has had a significant dampening effect on our fundraising abilities, and we've had to learn to do more with less. We fought an election a couple of months ago on a budget that was around about a quarter of the election that we had spent previously. So we must just be very, very careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and end up with a defunct, broken opposition party system in South Africa that actually cannot have the ability to move against corruption, maladministration, and hold the government accountable.
John Steenhuisen, leader of the Democratic Alliance, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Chad. It's always great to be with you guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
John Steenhuisen is the leader of the Democratic Alliance, and he was chatting to us about the DA's reaction to the handing over of the state capture report by Acting Chief Justice Zondo to the President yesterday.